In Matthew 15, 21 through 28, we have a story that we're all familiar with. I'd like to speak this morning on the nameless woman. The reason for this is that we know very little about the woman. We know a few details about where she came from. We know that she came and got a miracle from the Lord. As I was reading and looking at this, I realized that God has brought revelation to a lot of people about some of these things. But in this story were many beautiful principles that I thought would be extremely helpful for us to emulate and to follow the example of this woman. Today we are in the natural, we're celebrating Mother's Day, and we're celebrating a day when we're grateful for God to give us mothers. And although this woman was a mother, and we will speak of her as a mother and some of the virtues of her life as a mother, I'd like to look at it also not only as a mother, but also as a woman. But rather than confine it only to a woman, I think the principles that are involved and how this woman got to her need and miracle is principles that we all need to learn, men and women and children. I think we all need to pay attention, because these are what things that we can get from the Lord. When we started this morning, I said we need to come to a place where, like Jacob, we get a blessing from God instead of just waiting for the time that maybe something might happen, or just waiting it out, whether it's our healing, whether it's our deliverance, whether it's our job, whatever it is. We need to be more straightforward. And God wants to show us this morning how he rewarded a mother for how she acted and how she behaved. And one of the principal aspects of the life of this woman was that of faith. So the nameless mother with great faith. In verse 21, it says, "Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to a region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession.' And Jesus did not answer her a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, 'Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us.' He answered, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel.' The woman came and knelt before him. 'Lord, help me,' she said. He replied, 'It's not right to take children's bread and toss it to their dogs.' And she answered, 'Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered, 'Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted unto you.' And her daughter was healed from that very same hour." Woman, great is your faith. I'd like to use a story of a woman and a mother. And although it is Mother's Day and we're celebrating that Mother's Day and we're using a theme that has a mother and a woman in it, like I said, I think there's principles here we all need to learn and emulate. I think that we all need to come to Jesus the same way she did. Because far too many of us, when we come to the Lord with a need in our life, sort of come to him wondering whether, first of all, he would do something like that, whether it's God's right timing or whether it's God's will or whatever. But here is a woman who Jesus made it quite plain it wasn't even his will. Jesus said things in such a way that the woman could get offended. Now listen very closely what I'm going to tell you, because this happens every day in our life. Jesus said things to her that could be taken like something said to offend her. But there was also another way that it could have been taken. Each thing Jesus said could have been taken more than one way. But she, rather than seeing through the eyes of offense, chose to continue in what she was doing, because she knew that if she came to the Lord, she would receive from him. Now let's go back and start looking at some of the details that I think the Lord wants to bless us with this morning. Jesus, leaving that place, withdrew and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. So this woman was not in the midst of a whole bunch of people. Jesus was not with a multitude of people. He wasn't surrounded by, let's say, a campaign, or he wasn't in a meeting. He wasn't busy or tied up. He was just with his disciples. And he had decided to just go aside and spend some time alone with his family. So this woman was really interrupted. This woman was moving in, not when he was having a service. It'd be like somebody just showing up on my doorstep. So this is what I'd like to say about this mother and woman. First of all, she seized upon an opportunity. She didn't wait until he was having a meeting. She didn't wait until he was having a campaign. She didn't wait until he was in a ministerial mode. She just bugged him when he was alone with his disciples. So much so that his disciples were annoyed with her and wanted to just get rid of her because they could see Jesus wasn't paying attention to her because he wasn't in a meeting. He wasn't in a ministering mode. And so here's a woman that didn't need God in a ministering mode. She didn't need God in a moment of, oh, you know what? I've just thought of you. I've been thinking of you for a while now. What do you need? God didn't come out to her encounter. The Lord Jesus didn't go into her town to encounter her. She had to come out to encounter him. He was on a break. She was bugging him on a break. So I guess you could say today is our first principle. Bug God even on a break. In other words, even if it's not your day, even if it's not a meeting, even if it's not a special moment in your life spiritually, bug God when you have a need in your life. Come to God and say, Lord, there's something that I need from you. One thing I like about the woman, she knew where to go. And I believe that in my heart that this woman had heard the things that Jesus had done. Her faith had built by many of her friends that told her of the many miracles that Jesus had done for them and their families. And so she knew that if she could just come to him, he had the answer for her. And so she approached Jesus. Second thing I'd like us to notice is that this woman crossed many great barriers. Say that with me. This woman crossed many great barriers. In order to get what we want from God, we have to cross barriers. We have to cross all kinds of barriers. Sometimes they're barriers of superstition. You say, well, why? Well, because this woman was a Canaanite woman and the Canaanites were enemies to the Jews. So she had to cross the barrier of superstition. She had to cross barriers of race because the Jews looked down and despised these people because they were considered to be Gentiles, disgusting people, people who didn't have anything to do with God and God didn't want anything to do with them. They were awash. And so stop and think of it. She had to push through the barriers, all kinds of barriers, to get what she wanted. Sometimes the enemy will put barriers before us so that we won't push through them and get what we need to get from God. But this woman, much to her praise, she was given, and I say much to her praise, she was given that her story be put in a Bible. So that this story should be read by all who read God's word. Because God liked what she did. There are many stories. The Bible says that if all Jesus did, if all the things that he did were written, there wouldn't be enough books to contain all the stories of things he did. Ask yourself this question. Why was this mother and woman's story in the Bible? If all God's stories in the Bible could not be printed because they wouldn't fit. Why did God so wisely choose? I believe that this story has a lot in here for us. Because when we live in a country where everything has become so easy, when we start to encounter things like we're encountering now, high unemployment, low job rates, low income pays, hard hours of work, when we're looking at a financial system that's crumbling, when we look at the fact that we have really nothing stable to anchor our life in, and we look around, we feel like our whole world is crumbling. Listen, we need to push past all these barriers because God's still on the throne. God's not having a financial crisis. God hasn't run out of miracles for us, whether it's a healing in our body, whether it's in our mind, whether it's the healing and deliverance of anyone in our family, or whether it's in our city, or whether it's in our church. God is not changed. He's not having a crisis up there. God remains on the throne. We need to push past barriers. And God honored this woman because she had the guts to push past barriers. She was despised. And in spite of the fact she was despised, she went anyway. Who were they despised by? What race of people? The Jews. The Jews, the Gentiles were despised by Jews. Who was Jesus? She had to push past that barrier of race to get to someone and know that you're going to him with a disadvantage. Sinners come to God. They stand before the Lord. This trip perhaps was marked highlights along the way. And the highlights is that for a Spanish person to be saved, you got a miracle. Not so with Latins, not so with Americans, not so with everybody. But the only one of the hardest countries in the world, other than the Muslim world, to get any real converts in to give their heart to the Lord is in Spain. Remember that in the Inquisition, they did away with God's seed, and they don't want anything to do with it. You mentioned Jesus, and you're already in trouble. The county looks for all kinds of ways to shut your church down for a little bit of noise, for something you say. They send people as spies into your services all the time, and they shut your churches down. They hate God. In just about every service we held in Spain, there's people saved that were Spanish. Because we push past the barrier of race. Nothing is impossible with God. They know that God X'd their country out and said for hundreds and hundreds of years, I will not visit you. Yet they would stand when I would challenge them. They would stand in front of the service and give their heart to a God who had X'd them out and believe that X'd and all, he would still save them. They pushed past barriers. This woman pushed past these barriers. She pushed past the barriers of pride. And that's a hard one to push through. Jesus has said to her something very derogatory. If we were to look at it very clearly, she would have been discouraged by just the seeming unconcern that Jesus showed toward her to begin with. Why? Because when she came to him for help, and she had her very precious daughter whom she absolutely loved that was tormented by devils, and she could see that this devil was going to kill her daughter, she was desperate. She came with a desperate heart, and what did he do? Listen to this. He said nothing. He ignored her. She had to push past God ignoring her. Tell me, how many of us, when we pray to God and it feels like our prayers aren't getting through, like he doesn't even care what we're asking, like he doesn't even involve himself in our problem, how many are willing to just stay there and keep asking? She had to push past Jesus' unconcern, apparent unconcern. She had to push past the fact, knowing she was a despised individual, knowing that they looked down on them, knowing all this, when she just told him all about her problem. At least he could have said, oh, I feel so bad for your daughter, honey. Nothing. Nothing. Not even a word of self-pity. Nothing. It's like he turns to the disciples and said, did she say anything? She just got through pouring her heart out. And he didn't answer her a word. How many of us would quit and be discouraged? And how many of us would open up to a spirit of resentment against God? Because we feel like he just doesn't care. I'm having this crisis in my life and he just doesn't care. He's looking the other way. God wanted this mother and woman's story printed, and we're giving it to you on Mother's Day simply because she did some things that are honorable, and we're honoring her today by mentioning these things that I think are honorable enough for men, women, and children to follow on as principles in our life. God doesn't always answer right away. God doesn't look interested in what we're doing. What else did this woman have to push past? This woman had to push past that the inner group of this pastor who held the secret for her answer in life, the inner group, you know what I'm talking about? the inner group, the disciples, she could see that they were already disgusted with her. She hadn't won any points with any of them. She was a nuisance to them. They were wanting to get rid of her. And you know what she did? She pushed past the barrier of people wanting to get rid of her. Just get rid of her. Get her out of here. Get her out of my face. Jesus, would you like us to help you? There's 12 of us. We could just pick this woman physically up and literally just throw her out the window. Tell me something. Do you think this woman didn't hear that? I mean, if it was written later, she certainly read it. She pushed back. She pushed past a barrier that the disciples were putting to her. They wanted to stick a barrier up between her and Jesus so that she couldn't get to him. Isn't that true? This woman believed. She believed in her heart that this man would give it to her. Listen, you know what? Many times we hang up with God. You know why? Because we're not too sure he wants to do something for us. Well, listen, if there ever was a time where Jesus did everything in the world to convince this woman he didn't want to do anything for her, it was this one. This woman, Jesus did everything possible to make her think that he didn't want to. Did she go by that? Or did she push past the barrier and said, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what he's acting like. I know that if I just stay here, he's the only one that has the answer. And I know he really wants to. I don't know why all this is going on. I don't know if it's a show or if it's for real. I just know he really wants to. Now that's a conviction of heart that's powerful. That's a conviction that's powerful. Why? Because many times we don't even have the gut to pray to God because we don't even know if he wants to. He that comes to God must believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek. We must believe in our heart that he wants to, regardless of what it looks like, what it feels like, what he's acting like, or how long he's taking. We have to be root-bound convinced that he wants to. Because if not, I'd give up and quit. Many of us have situations in our life with our children, with our family, as mothers. Don't quit. Say, well, now for 6 or 10 years, doesn't matter. Believe that God wants to. What your heart is calling out to him for, what you're requesting of him as a mother. When you bring your children before God and say, God, this is an injustice. I'm asking you to involve yourself in this situation. He's not answering. And years go by and it seems like nothing's happening. And you feel like all the people that are involved with Jesus, all the nice Christians are working against you like the disciples did to try to throw your case out of heaven. You just don't retrieve that case. You just leave it there before God, shove it there and say, God, I still believe you want to. Because the other way is to get offended with God. The other way is to say, I knew you didn't want to. You hate me. I'm black. I'm white in my heart. I'm a black sheep. I'm a madman. I'm a bad boy. I'm a good girl. Too many of us give up and hate God for it. Push past the barriers. Let's learn from this mother. She had a daughter she loved. She had a daughter in need. She had a daughter possessed of a devil. And she wanted him free. And she knew he was the only one that could and would. Push past the barriers of the inner Christian group that do nothing but stand in your way to try to take Jesus away from you or you from Jesus. She just wouldn't give up. I like that. She crossed the barriers of pride. Jesus answered her and said, it is not good to take children's bread. That is, some people believe that that means the bread that was really intended for the Jewish nation and throw it to the dogs. That is the Gentile nation. But if you look at the Greek word that Jesus employed here, is kirnon rion. The word actually is best translated by these two little words, little dog. Little dogs. Not only can the statement be highly derogatory, especially if he was talking about race and people, because he was using about a dog. But it could have also been worse, highly inflammatory. Why? Why did I say inflammatory? It was derogatory enough. I mean, it was harmful enough for Jesus to tell them, you know what, I just came to minister to our own people. You guys are just a disgust. That's bad enough. But listen to how she could have taken this. He used the word little dogs. She could have taken it to mean that he not only cared about her, he didn't care about her case, but that he hadn't been sent of God to deal with little dogs like her daughter. And despised. Listen, walk up to a woman that loves her daughter and despise it in front of her, and you're going to watch a mad maniac come out of that woman like a demon-possessed woman and scratch your face. Or you haven't got a mother. Do not despise a woman's child that's in need when they come and open their heart to you. And that's just exactly what Jesus did. He said, I haven't come for little dogs. She could have taken that she meant her daughter. Think of it. A lot of it has to do with how we take what God says. Why did he use the term dogs? Let me put it to you this way. Do you remember when God said to Joshua, I want you to eliminate all these nations that are around you. But because some of them disguised themselves, several kings that lived in the vicinity of where Israel was conquering disguised themselves and said that they had come from a far land and put old bread, mildewy old bread and everything. Do you remember the story? And so he thought that indeed they came from afar and they were good people. Later on, they found out that they had been deceived and that these were the people that they were supposed to destroy and kill. Well, they told him, from now on, because we made a covenant with you that we wouldn't destroy you, we'll let you be with here, we'll let you share, we'll let you live around us, but you're going to be our servants. Do you know that's what they've got with Palestine today? That's what they got with all these people. So they understood this. They understood the principle. They understood what he meant by dogs. Why did he use the expression dogs? Because a dog lives in the house, but is not an inheritor. A dog shares your bed, but it's not a family member. Regardless of how you make it one, it's not a daughter or a son. Yes or no? A dog lives in the house, but he's not part of the family. No matter how much you can make it part of your family, the dog has a different genetic. Jesus was saying to her very clearly, you're here. You're in our house. You came to my house, but you're a dog. And you know what? All this about, please heal my little daughter, she's a little dog. I haven't come to do anything for a little dog. She had to push past the barriers. You know what barriers she had to push past? Pride. To not get offended. That's a word for somebody. This is her answer to what he said. She said, well, Lord, you know, I don't think you have it very straight. You know, as Americans, we're smarter than that. We know better than you do. Oh, really? Listen to her answer when he said about a dog, about little dogs, including an inflammatory statement that could have been taken for her own daughter. She says, yes, Lord. Why? Because her knowledge went all the way back to Joshua's day. She knew that like dogs that live in the house and eat in the house and they're all around the house, that God's true people were over there. They were outsiders. They were visitors. She saw herself as an outsider and had to push past that barrier. Listen to this. She said, yes, Lord. But even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Now, you know what she was doing? You know what she was doing? She humbled herself before the Lord. And because she humbled herself, the Lord rewarded her. She humbled herself. Her faith was not destroyed because of his indifference. Her faith was not destroyed because of his apparent despise. Her faith was not destroyed in any way, even if God said things that hurt and offended. People leave church all day long. If you speak a message that really cuts to the quick, people will leave you. Listen, that's when you ought to stick around. Because when he's talking that kind of way to you, he's got something in mind. Something that you need. Something that we need. Amen. And so that's when God's getting to the real quick of our life. That's a good thing. So She humbled herself before the Lord in verse 27. And she said, Lord, even little dogs can eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And little dogs need this crumb. Who was the little dog in her case? Her little daughter. That was her little dog. And who was the master? The person she was before, Jesus. Where was the table? The place where she was all gathered with him. And she said, Lord, I'm not leaving until I get at least a crumb from you. I'd like to speak to you about this mother and woman this morning as to what factors made it so that she would continue. What exactly was it that drove this woman to continue insisting before the Lord and not quitting? I think one of the factors was that she had heard that everybody that was brought to him was not denied but was healed. I think that one of the things that drove her is knowing that he had the solution and answer for her problem. That kept driving her. She knew that if she left that place where she was before him without her answer, there was nobody that could give it to her. She had heard that every single person possessed by devils brought to Jesus, the devils went flying out of them and they were set free. She hadn't heard of any scribe, any Pharisee, any other person anywhere in the world she lived in capable of casting out a devil, and much less out of her daughter. I think one of the things that pressed her to stay before Jesus was she knew that was her only place to get her miracle. One of the reasons why some of us don't get a lot more from God is because we have too many other sources we can draw from. But tell me, what were her options? Name, what were the options that this woman would have had if she had gotten offended with Jesus, she had left, or she had quit insisting? What were her other options? Who could have delivered her daughter? So I believe that drove this woman. I believe another thing drove this woman, and that's faith. Faith not only that he was the only one that could, but faith says he will. It's just a matter of saying the right thing, doing the right thing, staying here long enough. I don't know what's got to happen. I don't know how this happens very well. I'm in church. I don't know how you really sing. I don't know really how you praise. But one thing I know, that I came here with a need, and God wants to meet that need, and God will meet that need. Faith kept her prevailing and pushing past her barriers and staying there without leaving. Faith. God's going to fix this. He wants to fix this. I believe another thing that drove this mother, let me tell you what it is, her love for her daughter. She knew that if she'd gotten hung up on anything and left Jesus, her daughter would die from these demons. And she loved her daughter. This kept her putting up with all kinds of stuff, being ignored, being wanted to be thrown out, irritating people, annoying Jesus, feeling despised. It's hard enough to be in a place where you're the only one the right color. How about being in the only place where you realize that you're a despised person, not just the wrong color, you're a despised wrong color. You're the despised wrong gender. Because I truly believe that one of the things she had to push past, you know what it was? You want me to tell you? That she was a woman. And she had to deal with a man. Because in those days, much different than the days of the liberation of women's rights, back then they had no rights. A woman was like a dog. They got treated like one. They were used to putting up with all this stuff. She had to put up with the fact that she was a woman. Where was her husband? Where was the head of the home that should have been there advocating for his daughter? She had to push through. She had to push through the barrier being a woman in the middle of a whole entire group of men, because there wasn't one disciple that was a woman. None of the 12 that surrounded Jesus. And Jesus wasn't a woman either. So she had to push past the barrier being a woman. You know, women weren't supposed to insist before men. They were supposed to be submissive, bow, and take whatever you get, and get kicked if they didn't like what you were doing. What drove this woman? Her love for her child. What drove this woman? Her faith. Her faith that God wanted to do something for her. No wonder God put this story in the Bible. Because you don't have to be a woman this morning to learn something from her. We can be a man, a woman, or a child this morning and learn from these principles. We need to be like this woman. We need to learn and emulate what she did. God's honoring her not only this morning, but by putting her in the Word. Because He's honoring her as a mother, because her love for her child made her put up with all kinds of impossibility. Do you know that Jesus, one of the few times that a person is honored with four words, Jesus honored her. Do you know that Jesus at one time had said that He'd looked all over Israel and had never found faith like He did with the centurion that day that said, "Speak the word, and my servant will be healed." Do you remember that time? Well, if the Almighty God searches that much in all the earth to find faith, when you have a man like that on earth, when you have God on earth that searches that much to find faith on earth, honor you with these four words. What were the words? Do you remember what they were? You have great faith. Great is thy faith. That's a one in a million. He had looked everywhere. That word great was used hardly ever. Oh, many times He referred to faith with His disciples. "Ye have little faith, oh ye of little faith." But here's this mother who loved her daughter. She put up with everything she had to put up with and kept insisting with God and was honored. Like you'd put a decoration on a soldier that you're honoring. Great is thy faith. Woman of faith. Woman of faith. There is another quality about this woman. I think another thing that drove this woman to continue insisting before God, do you know what it was? Her desperation. This woman was desperate. Her situation at home was so bad, she had no one else to go to. This was the last of the line. This was the end of the line. She'd tried other places. She'd tried other things. She said, "God, I can go to no other but you." Her desperation took her to God and kept her there until she left with her answer. And I believe the greatest prayer in the world is reduced to three words. And this woman prayed the greatest prayer in the world. Because after everything was said and done, when she finally had the Lord dialoguing with her, she said these words with all desperation, with all the energy in her heart, with all the cry from the depth of her spirit in the love she had for her child. She said, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." Sometimes that three-letter prayer is the most powerful prayer you can ever pray in your life. Over and over in the Scripture, God answered that prayer for many children of God. "Lord, help." And God sent the Holy Spirit into this world to be the paraclete, to be the helper. And God will help us. When she cried out from the depth of her heart, she said, "Lord, help me." In verse 25, she came and worshiped Him. I love that. Why? Because she'd humbled herself. She'd put up with everything He'd said to her. She put up with all the truth. She had said, "True, Lord. Yes, it's true. Yes, we're despised. Yes, we're dogs. Yes, I don't even deserve all this favor. Yes, Lord, all you want. Yes, Lord, but I'm not leaving here without your help. You're the only one that can cast out devil. And I need one cast out. I'm not leaving. Help, Lord." Listen, if some of us were like Jacob, they will do whatever it takes to get our blessing, our life would be different today. Instead of miserably complaining before the Lord and getting bitter and nasty at Him, let's just be like this woman. Let's just learn from this mother. Her love for her children caused her to stand before God and say, "God, whatever it takes." She worshiped Him. She fell before Him. And at His feet, she cried out one of the most powerful prayers anybody can pray embodied into three simple words. "Lord, help me. Another reason I know that God had her story printed is because of her persistence. She just wouldn't give up. This woman just wouldn't give up. I'd like to tell you about Elmo Gringle. It's not Gringle, it's actually Kringle. A teenage boy had decided to quit high school, saying that he just was fed up with all the politics and everything that went on in high school, and they were picking on him, and he just didn't want to go on any further. So his father was trying to convince him to stay with it and not give up. "Son," he said, "you can't quit. All those people who are remembered in history didn't quit. Abraham Lincoln didn't quit. Thomas Edison didn't quit. Douglas MacArthur didn't quit. Elmo Kringle." And the son stops him and said, "Who? Who is Elmo Kringle?" His father said, "Who is he?" "See," said the father, "you don't remember him because he quit." Do you know why this story is in the Bible? To challenge us to not give up. Regardless of how difficult it is, no matter of how the circumstances seem to yell in your ear that God is through with you and he doesn't want to do anything more for you, that's the end of the line, that's the end of the road, this is the way it's got to be. Honey, don't give up. Don't quit. Because her persistence gave her the answer that she was looking from the Lord for. She persisted through the silence of Jesus. She persisted through the rebuke of the disciples. She persisted through the behavior of Jesus. She persisted through all the difficulties and hardships and refused to give up. Finally, she cast herself at his feet and said, "Help," and just knelt there waiting. She wasn't going to leave. Because she didn't leave, God gave her the answer to her prayer. Do you know in the natural there's people like that? There was one young man that wanted really bad to become an Eagle Scout. And the story in the news recently told of an 18-year-old young man who had multiple sclerosis. He was trying desperately to become an Eagle Scout, and all he lacked was a 16-mile hike, but he was in a wheelchair. They allowed him to do it in a wheelchair, but his chair only made it for about 10 miles because the way was too difficult. When his arms became too sore to continue and his wheelchair too mangled to continue, he crawled the remaining 6 miles on his hands and knees. Now that's persistence. That's the kind of dogged determination that this mother possessed to get her daughter free. And that's what we need to do. Some of us quit too easy. We need to learn to come to the Lord. And one thing I liked about this woman too, she didn't make any claims. Washington Irving said, "The love of a mother is never exhausted. It never changes. It never tires. It endures through all. In good repute, in bad repute, in the face of the world's condemnation, a mother's love still lives on." And I believe that persistence is the hallmark of godly motherhood. And I believe that persistence is why a lot of men and women, young men and women, are saved today. Out of prisons, out of drug rehabilitation centers, because mothers refused to quit praying. That is why God is saying to us today, challenging us, mothers, fathers, don't quit praying. No matter how bad it gets with your kids, hold him before the throne, and when you've exhausted everything else, fall before him, accepting all that might be said to you. In fact, all the devil might say to you of how you deserve this, they're that way because you started it, and because they're going to finish it, and because you started a lineage, and now from now on it's going to be all a disaster. Listen, you can listen to all you want to listen, but don't get off your knees. You stay there before the Lord. And keep repeating these three little letters, these three little words. Lord, help me. She didn't come for help for herself. She came for help for her daughter. And we need to be this way for our children. That's one of the inheritances God's given as mothers and fathers. He has given us to be able to stand before the Lord for our children and see their deliverance come to pass. Amen. And finally, I'd like to say she dared to cross all these barriers. She dared to persist in her faith and not give up. She dared to approach him in true humility, and she dared to receive from him an extraordinary and unmerited act of grace. Why did I say unmerited? Because it wasn't to her that he was sent. Why was it extraordinary? Because ordinarily he would have healed only the black sheep of Israel. Do you know that she had to tap through? She had to discover a grace that hadn't been revealed yet. Did you know that? Do you know the time of the Gentiles had not yet come until Paul's age? Do you realize she was ahead of her age? Do you realize that her heart that came to God received, she discovered something of God that hadn't been discovered yet? That was an early discovery. She had to lay hold of a grace that wasn't, a standard grace. She had to lay hold of an extraordinary grace. She had to lay hold of a side of God that was more than just the chartered path, the chartered plan. She had to get God outside of his scheme. She had to find out where the God could stretch the limits. She had to know if God can meet her outside the limits. And what did she discover? She discovered a grace that God has when you cross the limits and you're outside of where you think grace can reach you. Did you hear that? When you feel you've crossed the line and you're outside that place of grace that can naturally meet you, then you can hang on to a God who has extraordinary grace for you and can reach you where you are. And you say, God, I'm not giving up. And instantly, her daughter was made whole of that devil, and it came out of her. It just came out of her. As the words were coming out of Jesus' mouth, woman, great is thy faith, be it unto you. With that be, those devils started to leave. That's it. Didn't matter how much torment they'd done, how much damage they'd done. That moment, they were gone. She was waiting for those words from Jesus. Is there grace? Oh, yes. Maybe not standard grace, but extraordinary grace. Unmerited grace. Do you know that many of us, if not all of us who are here this morning, are here because we found unmerited grace? Somewhere along the line, we came to a place of false belief that we now merit this grace from God because we're his children, because whatever. But listen, I've got news for you. God is not only a God of grace, but extraordinary grace and unmerited grace and favor. There is something about the personality of God. It doesn't matter what face he shows you, you stay there. Moses stayed there and says, God, I know you show me that this mountain's going to burn just because you're angry with whatever. You've shown me that you get angry with sin. You show me that you'd wipe out a whole nation just because and start over again. But show me your glory. There's a part of you that's not revealed yet and may not be revealed in my day, but I want to see it 1,400 years before it happens. I have to see this side that's hidden of God that you're not showing me right now. You're showing me the fire. You're showing me the hot displeasure. You're showing me your wrath. You're showing me your holiness. You're showing me your high demands on man. You're showing me your short fuse for those who don't live up to your expectations. But show me your glory. And Moses stayed before God until God said to him, all right, I'll give you a sneak preview. I am a God who forgives too. I'm a God who can have mercy too. I'm a God who heals. I'm also a God that has extraordinary grace and can meet people way outside the bonds and limits that I have set for my holiness. If you will but dare to believe, if you will dare to stand before God and let him meet you there, believe, insist, persist, don't give up. Cross through the barriers and be like this woman that's honored today before you. Amen.